Thanks for taking a moment to listen to the product from readorlisten.com, a subset of Developers Hangout, where we take a moment to read tech-related articles so that you can listen to them while you're working, driving, or exercising, what be it. All right, enjoy. So this is an article on feature flags that I wrote recently as we experiment with it on our team. The title is Feature Flags in Laravel. Overview. We are working on using feature flags or toggles in our applications. For one, we are aiming to do all our work on mainline branch at all times. So this would be a key coding discipline to use feature flags so we can hide a feature in progress, knowing it will not interfere with the application. For example, if a hotfix or another feature is ready to go to production, we can push with no worries of the progress of the in-progress feature. You can see many of the reasons in this article, and it links to martinfowler.com, but I think the article is actually by Pete Hodgson's Feature Toggles, for using this system. So, not just the more common situations of permissions, but also release toggles, experiment toggles, and more. See the list and images below. So the image shows a really nice, simple look at how release toggles can be in the system for days or weeks. And then you have ops toggles that can be used at different times, permission toggles, and then experiment toggles, and how those can affect the longevity and dynamism. Dynamism. I don't know if that's a real word, but it's an interesting image. And again, it just covers them. Release toggles, op toggles, permission toggles, experiment toggles. The core coding logic I use in this is this library, a treatise feature, which is a PHP library that has the logic needed to consider feature flag states, e.g. on, off, user, users, groups, admin, internal, random. A more extensive list of this is listed below, pretty much what I just said. It also notes random, percentage, URL query string, bucketing. So a lot of different features. The core logic, one key thing as I use this in Laravel is I will try and mix this with the existing authorization workflow that is already present. This gives me some already prepared ways to think about this both at the view layer, model layer, and controller layer, and where to register these states. Plus, we can get great Laravel docs to help explain some of it. For example, I can use this in my theme. And then the code is referenced that uses the @can method that can be used in Blade templates, and then it calls to the particular feature. The next section is called installing. This will install two things, the library I made to do this and the example library I am using to show it in action. Providers. And add this below to your config/app. And then it lists two providers to add, feature flag provider, and then the example feature provider. The core library feature flags provider, what does this do? It does some basic Laravel work for registering views, for settings, routes, for CRUD, and for managing settings CRUD, and some cache on the model changes so that we can update the world as needed. The big thing it does do is instantiate world, and I'll explain that more shortly. And then there's a code sample where it just shows how it instantiates the feature flag world class that comes with this library and puts it into play. The database saves the data in a way that I will talk about below. Above in the code sample is a transformation of the data into a more compatible form to this library. So at this point, we have world, which is where we set our way of finding truth, and features, which is the state of all features. World. This class implements the interface that comes to the library. You can see it here. And that class basically has a list of methods. Is this the user? What is the user ID? Is this admin? In all these common ways for it to find truth in your data, relative to the features, and you just then make it Laravel or whatever, Drupalized, whatever it takes to make it work with your data set in your framework. Okay, back to the reading. I simply do some logic in there based off user email, since this is all I am using right now instead of user ID or name. More can be added as needed to react to all the other options. But this is how we find things like, can this user see this feature? What users are active for this feature? Etc. Basically, it is the class you use to tie your framework into the feature flag logic. So when it asks for groups, users, etc., it has the methods and logic needed to compare your data to the feature flag requirements. Next section, then the example feature provider. Just so I could try out this library on something, so I could wrap my head around it, I made an example feature that added a simple Twitter field to the user data. This was great because it was a schema change, so I had to make sure the field was nullable, and it offered some view level interactions with the feature flag. In the view, I made a view, and the code sample shows the view where it has, and this was up above as well, an @can, and then it shows the Twitter name being called in, and then it says this can be injected into other views, again, just the typical Laravel stuff where you can inject other packages' views in the naming pattern there. All of this is registered in the provider we set up above, and I referenced the provider in the code snippet. And the code snippet shows how we register the features, add-twitter-field or c-twitter-field. Who can see those? Is that feature on or off? And that's what we really get out of this. And then it references some classes that basically then simply use this feature library to ask simple questions like, is enabled? Add Twitter field. And if it is enabled, what is it based on? Just on or off or users? And it's really that simple at that point. I was quite impressed. Now we can, I'll go back to reading. Now we can turn this info as needed. In your controller repository, just remember to not assume that field is coming in via the request or even exist in the model. A code snippet shows how to handle the request. And then I'll go back to reading. Honestly, I think it is better to add this to a Laravel model event. Then as you listen to that event, you can react to it. And when not having the feature on or installed any longer, it is one less place your code is being injected into the application. Next section, feature flag migration. The migration will make one table for feature flags and add a column to the user table, the example Twitter field feature. Note, the example provider will add this Twitter column to the user table. It is nullable, so it will not be an issue if other parts of the app do not consider this data. In the feature flags table, there we have an ID column, the key column, active column to consider the feature flag, and then the variance column, if any. I might get rid of the active column, but thought it might speed up queries. The variant column being JSON allows us to store unstructured data to hold any data for different situations, so we can cover all the possible variants listed above. For example, show Twitter is just an array, and just like the library tells us, it has a key called users, and in that key it has who it's on for, who it's off for, or just a list of users. It can really go that deep as far as the details, or simple, on, off, or users. And then the next thing, the code sample just shows how that would look in the database. Final section is called menu. Just a note, this demo has a feature flag menu. This because this core app uses the view composer pattern to create links array, I can add that later on in my feature flag provider. And I just show an example of this because I thought it was really interesting how to build up menus. But it is, as it says here, this is for another post, but it's just an example. All right, that covers this article.